Exodus 14. March seems to be holding true to the old saying of coming in like a lion and hopefully going out like a lamb. I'm thankful that it's not 20 below like we've had before in other months of March. But the sloppiness is getting old too. The whole thing's getting old. Exodus 14, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." That's quite a statement, isn't it? They're fearing for their lives. The waters in front of them, the armies behind them. And Moses is saying, don't fear. Fear ye not. See the salvation of the Lord. Oh, and you see these Egyptians? You're not going to see them again. That's quite a statement. And here's the reason why. Verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Say that with me. Go forward. "But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Now that rod being lifted up has already performed some pretty amazing things, but definitely not in this league. Not in this possibility. I mean, it's one thing to see water turn to blood and the abundance of water in Egypt in that region turning to stinking, awful blood. But the Red Sea? Wow. That would be the message to Moses, too. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He needed to have that in his heart and in his mind, and then pass it on to the people. So we're calling this March 4th. All right, you can be seated. Now our resident French speaker here, we'll call on him here in a moment, because dog mushers were supposedly using a corruption, I guess it would be the way to a change anyway, of the French march, which is marche, and it kind of got shortened down to mush. They really don't say that, do they? When you're at the start, do you hear them yelling mush to get the dogs going? Yeah, still busy throwing reindeer dogs all over the place. But as I understand it, they really don't say that. They have other means of motivating their dogs. And I know they use sound, you know, bells, and they use food as a reward, obviously. Too bad Brother Rick is not here tonight. He has won dog mushing races. So it would have been interesting to get his take on how you start the teams. But we know the Iditarod being underway now, those mushers have prepared for months. In fact, they train all year long. They work hard. And those shorter races, those are actually preliminaries that they have to partake in one of them, I think, in order to qualify for the long race. They have to show that they can endure 200 or 300 miles before they can try the 1,000-mile. And I've flown over that country to Nome and then back to McGrath and so on to Anchorage, and it is desolate. There's nothing out there. And, boy, I really tip my hat to the dog mushers who go that distance, go that way. And right here in Sterling, we have champions, the CB dog teams have won several times among the family. Mitch, the dad, has won 3 times, and he actually has the speed record. He's actually done the race the fastest of all of the mushers. And he also has the age record. He won at 56. My goodness, I'd be sitting down to a good bacon and eggs at 56 and wishing everybody else, go, go. But Dallas, his son, has won 5 times. And he's trying for the record of the most wins this time. Brother Mike told me his birthday is March 4th. So he took that as a sign. That's what he's supposed to do. First Saturday in March, he's going on. But you know what's so unique about dog teams and the sleds? There's no reverse. A carriage, a wagon, horses, oxen, mules, you can back them up. But there's no backing up the dogs. You have a royal mess. Dr. Dembski, his son was in my class at Soldotna Elementary, and so we were doing Iditarod, and he volunteered to bring his dog team and his sled. And so that was a big treat for us. We met in the back, and we went all the way around the kids did. He went all the way around, and then finally I was the only one left, and he asked, you want to go? And I was a little concerned about leaving the kids, but they were having fun throwing snowballs or whatever, I don't know. So I got in the sled, and really unique. It's very quiet. You hear the crunch of the snow, and you hear the panting of the dogs, and it's true, the scene doesn't change. You see the line of dogs out in front of you, so it is best to be the lead dog, so at least you get a different view. But we always went forward. There's no reverse. And thank God we go forward. Better to go forward. Easier to go forward than in reverse. You know, they teach you, look over your right shoulder when you're backing up. And if the windows aren't fogged up or frozen, that's good. If your mirrors aren't frosted over, that's good. Backing up with mirrors is a skill that is learned with lots of practice. I admire the truck drivers who are able to back their containers right up to the dock, as it's called, and park it in just such a short space. Someday you'll have to go on the Glover adventure of launching our skiff the first time for dip netting. We undid the bow line, and we're backing down. Get the stern in the water, shove like mad on the skiff, can't figure out why it's coming loose, and then remember there's 2 tie-downs on the stern. Pull the boat back out, undo those 2 stern lines, start backing in, and the bow goes up because we didn't put the line back on. This motor hits. So pull it down, pull it back up, and the attendant on the float is just standing there watching the circus, you know. Finally, he said, you got the plug in? Unfortunately, that's happened more than once. But Israel coming out of Egypt, a nation of shepherds and slaves. And they are quick to complain. They're quick to criticize. When they saw the Egyptians pursuing them, they were sore afraid. How afraid is that? Pretty sore. Well, they were facing capture, casualties, annihilation, return to slavery. But their complaint went along the lines of, why should we die in the wilderness? Weren't there graves in Egypt? And listen to this. Wouldn't it be better for us to serve the Egyptians? Boy, their memory is short. They don't recall the slave taskmasters. They don't recall the difficulty. They don't recall their baby boys in the Nile River. Wow. It's just something. They wanted to go in reverse. doesn't make sense. But Moses gave assurance. Fear not. See the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. Hold your peace. Praise God. And that reminds me of Israel going around Jericho 7 days without saying a word. Because the Lord knew about their tendency to complain, their tendency to criticize, their tendency to just go off, you know. But the Egyptians you see today, you will see no more forever. I'd love to have that kind of pronouncement on some of the things we face. Amen. You're not going to see them again. You know, that's the hope of heaven. Thank God. We're not going to be sick ever again. Praise God. Not even a sore throat. Amen. Thank the Lord. You can scream all you want. And praise and worship to the Lord. So God instructed Moses, speak to them that they go forward. Lift up your rod over the sea and divide it. And the people will cross on dry ground in the midst of the sea. That is an incredible promise. Just amazing that the Lord would speak that. It hasn't been seen yet. He's speaking something that is going to come to pass almost momentarily. And the people, you can imagine, the people are milling all around. They're complaining to each other. The murmur and complaining is getting louder and louder. Moses is becoming more and more concerned. And the army is approaching, you can see. But remember, the pillar of cloud was to them light, and to the Egyptians it was darkness. So not everything was clearly visible, but they saw the waters part, a wall of water on both sides. Now, that would be a little disconcerting too, wouldn't it? You're wondering, is this safe? What's going to happen? Are we all going to get across? And oh my, the frantic moms holding on to their little ones, the dad carrying their goods and their babies and so on. It still was a bit of a hectic thing. But here they go, marching forward. Praise God. And all that night, they marched across the seabed that was dry. And then sure enough, Pharaoh's army following in pursuit. They didn't give up. They didn't stop. They didn't quit. The enemy's not going to quit. Not going to give up. And you've got to make up your mind. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. Praise God. And oh, thank the Lord. Somehow, the chariot wheels came off. It couldn't have been mired in the mud, because over 1 million people went across on dry ground. So the Lord had angels real busy with lug wrenches. Whatever. I don't know. But the chariot wheels came off. And the chariots became stuck. And Moses raised his hand. And the waters came back together. Wow. What a sight. Incredible sight. The whole Egyptian army defeated. And the scripture says it this way, there remained not so much as one of them. The whole army, the charioteers, the cavalry, any infantry, if there was some. Remember the promise, you'll see them again no more forever. Praise God. So don't try to go back. Don't go in reverse. March forth. Praise God. Amen. I reminded you, you know, of things that could have been in our lives. We could have been under a bridge. We could have been in a flea-bitten hotel. We could have had track marks up and down our arms. We could be sitting there nursing a bottle of Tokay or whatever. It could have been that bad. Amen. But thank the Lord. You don't know what Tokay is? Good. Just cheap wine. Thank God. You don't have to know what that is. Don't try to go back. Thank the Lord. I thought about marching out. And I remembered Daniel had his friends appointed over the affairs of the province after an amazing victory when the king was about to annihilate all of his wise staff, all of his diplomats, all of his government leaders. He was going to wipe them out because they could not tell the dream, and therefore they couldn't give the interpretation. It was pretty strong demands that were unfair, really. Tell me what I dreamed. Well, tell us your dream, and we'll give you the interpretation. I don't remember. Tell me the dream and the interpretation. Well, thank the Lord that God spoke through Daniel. And so Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are promoted. Someday, Jackson's going to have the chance to preach that message, that's their names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Praise God. And the power of the Lord was displayed on their behalf. Now, think about this golden image, that all had to worship. And the threat was already in place. If you don't bow down and worship, there's a fiery furnace awaiting you. Well, certain Chaldeans, and this was among that group of wise men, astronomers, magicians, whatever they were, saw their chance to remove those young Jews from the leadership positions that they had. And there was jealousy. There was a animosity. There, just a feeling like they had been passed over. But God gives favor. Amen. When God gives you favor, don't apologize. When God gives you favor, testify. Praise God. Amen. Give the glory to the Lord. And so they reported, these Chaldeans reported very quickly to the king. Didn't you say for everyone had to bow down when the symphony played? Yes, we did. There are three young men who are not bowing down. Well, they were summoned. They were given another chance. But they answered the king. Now, they weren't being smart, Alex. They weren't being disrespectful. They knew the protocol. They knew the procedure. But they said, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter." In other words, they already had their answer. They didn't have to convene a little committee. What do you think? What should we say? How should we phrase this? No, they already knew. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Amen. That was a statement of confidence. That was a statement of faith. But a statement of commitment followed it. But if not, we're still not going to bow down and worship. I always think that's kind of a moot point. They're going to be a burnt crisp. No question that the ashes aren't going to be able to bow down and worship. But there's the statement of faith, and there's the statement of commitment. You got to have both. Amen. You got to have both. I'm believing the Lord for healing, but if he doesn't heal, I'm still going to serve him. I'm still going to worship him. Praise God. I'm believing the Lord, and you fill in the blank. But if not, I'm still going to serve him. Praise God. And thank the Lord. Okay, so here goes the fiery furnace. The king in anger commanded the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter. And the three young men were bound in their coats, their hats, and other garments. That always tickles me. They aren't going to be hot enough in the 7 times hotter fiery furnace. Put all their winter gear on. Put everything on. Make sure they're good and hot. And then the king summoned his most mighty men. Usually when we hear the phrase mighty men, we're thinking about David. But here Nebuchadnezzar has his most mighty men come and grab these three young men who are all bundled up. And the furnace is heated 7 times hotter, and they are cast in. And the heat is so great that it overwhelms those mighty men, and they drop dead. What a cost. What a foolish thing for this king to do, to lose those mighty men. The air that was superheated, as they inhaled it, probably not just smoke inhalation, but the heat. What would that be called in fireman parlance? Dead, yeah, dead. Because the lungs being cooked, you know, it's just awful. An awful situation. But the king then takes a look into the furnace. And in astonishment, he cries out, "Didn't we throw three bound into the fire? I see four loose and walking in the fire. And the fourth," oh, praise God. That's why you can march forth. Because the fourth one in the fire is going to be there with you. The fourth one in the fire is going to bring you through. The fourth one in the fire is not going to forsake you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. He called him the Son of God. He called him an angel. That pagan king didn't know what to call him. But he knew it was divine intervention. He knew it was far beyond what he would be able to do. Praise God. And then he calls out to them again, "You servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Praise God. And so I think they marched forth. Amen. The fire had no power over them. Their hair was not singed. Their coats were not charred. They didn't even have the smell of fire on them. That's amazing, isn't it? Thrown in bound, marched forth loose. Praise God. You know, we're oftentimes scared stiff, I guess as the saying goes, and terrified by our adversaries, even though the scripture says don't be terrified by your adversary. That's just us. We're just human. But understand, the Lord may allow a trial to set you free. Set you free? Don't take me in the trial to begin with. That's good freedom. But the trial may be to set you free from fear that had you paralyzed. To help you to understand, that wasn't as bad as you thought. It wasn't a defeat. It wasn't a death. It was divine intervention for victory. Praise God. And you will be loose to be able to walk in the power of God. You will be loose to be able to testify about how good God is and how he's provided and how he's blessed and how he brought you through. Praise God. Praise God. Now I'm going to go to the number fourth. The number, as in July 4th, Declaration of Independence, actually signed a little bit later, but that's okay. 13 colonies, American colonies, revolting against the British Crown, and one of the sayings was no taxation without representation, and so they had legitimate claims, they had situations that were not to their liking. The tea tax and the tax on this and tax on that, tax on everything. The British were really getting carried away with it, and it was becoming more and more of a sore point with the colonies. They wanted to be free, to have their own government, manage their own trade, establish their own economy. And so liberty and freedom was very highly valued. And so that declaration was made. And we're familiar with some of the tenets of it, the preamble of it, and so on. No doubt you stood up in your school and declared some of it from memory. But it amazes me that documents such as the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, these documents of democracy were written by men like Madison and Jefferson, who were quite young. Madison was 36 years old. And he's the main writer of the Constitution, James Madison. 36. Did God have a hand in this? I believe he did. Amen. They wanted independence. They wanted the freedom. And let me take just a moment now to change the perspective here to the spiritual freedom that we can enjoy. And we'll, Brother Levi, if you wouldn't mind flashing these scriptures up on the screen. John 8 and 32. I'm thankful that there's a connection, a strong connection between truth and freedom. And the Lord declaring, know these truths. Know them. Be familiar with them. Memorize them. Because they will make you free. And that creative power of God who spoke the word, spoke the worlds, the universe into existence. Praise God. Let there be light. And everything connected to those four words. Incredible. And a truth that will make you free. Romans 6, 18. I'm thankful there's a personal application that the Lord brings into our lives when he says, you've been made free from sin. Free from sin, born again. Praise God. I'm thankful that there's that powerful application that God wants to imply or to apply in our lives that we can live day after day. Romans 8 and 2, we've been made free from the law of sin and of death. And that is sad that the vast majority of population of our land is still subject to those laws of sin and death. But we have been made free, and we have the message to help them become free. Praise God. And that's why the Lord talked about, don't light a candle and hide it under a bushel. No, you let that light shine. Galatians 5 and 1. Again, that being made free. Christ hath made us free. I'm thankful that we don't have to go in reverse. That's what the end of the verse is talking about. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go backwards. Don't go in reverse. Keep going forward. Praise God. Christ hath made us free. And then, of course, the liberty. Leave that verse up, bro, if you would. The liberty that we live as Americans. Stand fast, therefore, in that liberty. Don't treat it lightly. Don't treat it optional. You know, people like to look at their options. Amen. Hold on to that liberty. Live that liberty. Praise God. And let the power of the Lord bring the direction that you have, that he has for you. 2 Corinthians 3:17. We sang about it here. The Spirit of the Lord. There is liberty. Praise God. And I'm thankful that that liberty, just like Paul, or Moses rather, told the people, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. That recognition that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we walk in the Spirit, we live in the Spirit. Thank God, there's a liberty that the Lord is going to cause to live within you. All right, Galatians 5:13. So these are just a few of the scriptures that I jotted down along this idea of freedom and liberty that the Lord has provided for us. You've been called to liberty. That's your calling. The Lord's brought you into a liberty, but don't use that liberty for your flesh. No, use it in the power of the Spirit. Don't use it carnally. Don't use it just to satisfy yourself, because yourself is always going to be hollering, always wanting attention, always wanting, you know, things going my way. Don't use liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now, let's go back to this, the 13 colonies, the idea of independence. They wanted a country that would have its own government. They looked for self-government. They looked for self-determination. They looked for self-governance with their own body establishing the trade regulations and so on. Now, let's apply that self aspect to the spiritual realm. All of that self, self-determination, self-government, and so on, all of that self is going to get you in trouble in the spiritual realm. It will definitely get you in trouble. So I need, along with my independence, Brother Levi, could you put that word independence up? I don't know if you can get it on a slide real fast or not, but there's four syllables there, right? Independence. I'm gonna play with the syllable rules a little bit here. I know it is supposed to be independence, right? But I'm gonna change it. Independence. So that the two middle syllables spell depend. For independence to work, there's got to be a depend. And what you depend on is going to make all the difference. If it's self, you're in big trouble. It's got to be the Spirit. That's why freedom and liberty appear in the Scriptures so frequently. And I touched on just a few of them. You can go into a Bible study and get your concordance out, get your device out, and find out how many more times it's there and how it applies to you individually. Thank God we can depend on Him. We can depend on His name. We can depend on His Word. We can depend on His Spirit. Thank God. I can depend on His blood. See, that's the essence of the independence. I'm independent from sin, praise God. Independent from Satan, independent from the flesh, the world, the devil, independent from that, but I depend on Him. I depend on you for prayer. And that's why I'm standing here tonight. Your prayers are answered. Praise God. I depend on my brothers and sisters for encouragement, for fellowship. Thank the Lord. And thank God that that is where the Lord would have us to be, because that's the way we go forward. Go forward. Amen. Okay, so I'm going back to fourth now. F-O-R. Oh, good. Thank you. There's independence. Depend. See it right there in the middle? I think that's what independence is built on, especially in the spiritual realm. We're in a time right now, and I don't want this to get political, but I'm very concerned. We're in a time right now where our Constitution is trying to be altered, trying to be changed. When the three branches of government, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial, are under attack from the others, and there's political inroads being made, political hash being produced, we need to pray. We really need to pray. I question, why is there a push for a weak America? Why is there seemingly a situation of let's make America weak? Because here's what I figured out, and it's I'm not claiming it's from the Lord. It's just my little pea brain coming up with this reasoning. Because America would stand in the way of a one-world government. America with its democracy, America with its freedom, America with its liberty, would not want to be ruled on a one-world government. So America has to become weak. America has to become second rate. And then the force of the one world government is going to step forward. And that can happen within months. We're already geared for one. I want to ask for a show of hands, because I'm pretty sure every hand would go up. But how many have shopped at Amazon? We're already being trained to shop one in one focus, in one area. We're being trained to do that. It's for our benefit. And so there's a lot of benefit for shopping Amazon. And, you know, the microchip and all of that. You know all of that. I just want us to be aware of where we are and hold on to that liberty and independence in the Lord as you depend on one another and all that he has for us. Because that's the only way your independence is going to survive, as you depend on him. His word, his spirit, his blood, his presence. Amen. His name. Lazarus was sick. His sister sent a message to Jesus. The message was, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Notice there's a recognition of the Lord and the one you love, the one you have a relationship with. You've been in our home. We've been hospitable to you, and you visited with us. That relationship, he's sick. It's in danger of ending because of his death. Jesus wanted to go to him, but he delayed. And he was beyond Jordan where John first baptized, in that area. And the reason he was there is he had escaped from the crowd in Jerusalem who were trying to stone him. And so when the Lord said, let's go to Bethany, which is just outside of Jerusalem, the disciples were very concerned because, Lord, they tried to stone you. You don't want to go back there. Let things settle down. Let things die down for a bit. But Jesus wanted to go. And when they got to Bethany, they found that Lazarus was already in the grave for 4 days. But the display of the Lord's love would come before the display of his power. And thank God, he always will show his love like that. He heard Mary and Martha say the same thing. Martha first approached him and said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Mary was called, the master calleth for thee. And Mary came, and she said the exact same thing. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And then again, that you can imagine how that gripped the heart of the Lord. Here were these siblings that he had spent a lot of time with, that he loved, and they had demonstrated their love for him, and he gave that powerful statement, I am the resurrection and the life. Praise God. And he saw them weeping, and the Bible says he groaned. And then a few verses later, we read Jesus wept. Very short verse, but so full of significance, compassion, understanding, empathy, anything that you want to use and synonyms of those words. He made his way to the tomb, and he heard the crowd murmuring. He opened the eyes of the blind. Couldn't he have kept this man from dying? You know, that's both a testimony and a criticism, isn't it? He should have been here. Why did he delay? How come the work isn't being done? And Jesus groaned again. Because he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He understands and knows how we feel. He walked to the tomb and commanded them to take away the stone. I imagine he stood there for a short moment and just looked at that stone and maybe nodded in acknowledgement. You're not going to stop me. That's not going to hold anything back. So when he commanded them to take away the stone, Martha who was, she was the cook, right? She was the one that maybe she was thinking of spoiled food and the way it smelled. I don't know. But Lord, he's been dead for 4 days and the smell. If thou wouldest believe, the Lord answered, thou shouldest see the glory of God. There again, that tremendous promise. And so the stone was moved, and Jesus prayed. I think that's pretty significant, that the Lord didn't just right away call forth the dead. But he took the time to pray, and we read the prayer, and we know it was for the benefit of those who were hearing, not for his benefit or anything like that. But when he finished the prayer, and God help us not to be negligent in that area, I know you aren't. And let's keep challenging ourselves to continue in that realm of prayer and believe that the Lord is going to show his glory. When he finished his prayer, he cried with a loud voice. And it must have echoed, you know, in the cave and around the hillside and amongst the hearers. Lazarus, come forth. It was loud. It was a shout. It was a command. And he that was dead came forth. Just like that. Wow. Amazing. You know, you stop and think of the darkness in that cave, the shadows that were there, and some of the objects that may have been identifiable, and then movement. Someone standing upright. Someone shuffling out into the daylight. How big would your eyes be? Would you hold your breath? Would you let it out in a gasp? Would it be hard to look at anything else? My. Loose him and let him go. The Lord wasn't done giving commands. Praise God. I'm thankful that we can be loosed. We can be let go. Amen. The death of sin does not need to hold on to us. We've been made free. We walk in liberty. Praise God. And the power of the Lord is what's available for us. So the grave clothes came loose. The napkin on his face was removed. And I wonder about his reactions at that point. Did he blink in the sunlight? Did a big smile break out on his face when he saw his sisters? Who did he give a hug to first? Probably a hug for his sisters, for the disciples, for Jesus, especially Jesus. Praise God. Oh, what an incredible work our God does. What powerful and wonderful things that he's going to continue to do. And I believe the Lord is calling his people to come forth now. We're in a time, you know, we call it pandemic, we call it all kinds of things, and fortunately it's changing a little bit for the better. Still aggravates me that churches were lumped together with non-essential whatever, and a shame that in the Bill of Rights, the freedom of religion is very strongly stated, but yet ministers had to go to court to get that to be allowed. Incredible. But the Lord wants his people to come forth. Praise God. You may be walking in the shadow of death, but like David say, I fear no evil. Praise God. And thank the Lord, the power of God is there to minister to you. You don't have to walk in despair. You don't have to walk in depression. Praise God. Come forth, because the Lord of life calls and directs us. Amen. And when he calls us to come forth, it's for a purpose, to send us forth, to be sent forth. Amen. And he doesn't send you forth, well, he says as lambs among wolves, but listen to what he also sends. Psalm 104, Brother Levi, if you'd get those up for us. Psalm 104, verse 30. He sends forth his people, But he sends them forth with his Spirit. Sendest forth thy Spirit. Praise God. Creation is there. Renewal is there. Because that's the power that God wants to reveal. All right, Psalm 147, verse 15. Here's what the Lord sends forth. He sends forth his people. He sends forth his commandment. His word runneth very swiftly. So when he sends you forth, there's spirit and truth. And those are the elements of sure victory. They're the elements of worship. We know the Lord said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And if the Lord sends forth his Spirit, the Lord sent forth his commandment, his word runneth, then that's for your benefit. So you're not defenseless. You're not, you know, going out for a slaughter. But those are the elements you bring to a Bible study, spirit and truth. When you sit down to teach somebody the Word of God, that's what you're bringing, spirit, truth. Praise God. Excited that Shelley received the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm believing that there's going to be testimonies and people that you bring to the house of the Lord and saying, this is Martha. I was teaching her Bible study, and she received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. Praise God. Amen. Or whoever it might be. I believe God's got that in store for us because he already sent his Spirit forth. He already spent his word. Amen. And he'll send you forth. Luke 10 and 2, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. One of the statements that we heard at Minister's Retreat says, you really don't need to pray about who to teach, who to witness to, because anywhere there are souls, there's a harvest. Anywhere. They're everywhere. And all you have to do is reach into the harvest. And the Lord of the harvest will be with you for the harvest. Because remember, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. That's who he's after. That's who he wants. And that's who he's going to help you to reach out to. Because that's the work that is closest to his heart. That's why he calls it a great harvest, a plenteous harvest. Praise God. So we march forth. March forth. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. Isaiah was in the presence of the Lord. He saw him high and lifted up. He saw the train of the Lord fill the temple. Those are all the victories. He heard the seraphims crying out, holy, holy, holy. And he saw one on the throne. There are some that say because they cried holy three times, there was three. But he didn't see three. He saw one. And Isaiah testifies to that time and again throughout the rest of his book. Praise God. You don't have to be afraid of anything. You can go forth with the word of the Lord and go and work in a harvest. Go forth. Psalm 126:6. Let's go ahead and go with that one on the screen. And this is a promise that you can see the fulfillment of. You can have it come to pass in your life. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless. Does it say doubtless? It does. Come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In other words, there's going to be results. It is going to happen. You have precious seed that you can take forth. Amen. And you will come back with joy. And you will come back with a harvest. There will be souls. Amen. That would be a good one to pray, isn't it? Lord, I want to go forth. Lord, I want to bear that precious seed. Lord, I want to return, doubtless return, with joy and with souls. I want to see it happen, Lord. Use me to make it happen, Lord. Praise God. That's how we got to pray. That's how we got to trust the Lord. So the Lord said, I send you forth. And like the disciples in Luke 10, we can return with joy and let him know, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. Praise God. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to stand there like it's a great body of water and you don't know how you're going to get across. Go forward. You don't have to worry about your past trying to come and drag you down. The devil with all his lies. Go forward. Praise God. Stand with me now, please. We don't need music. Thank you, music team, for being willing. We just need some prayer time here now. Okay, so we're just going to be like Isaiah, here I am, Lord. And we're just going to rejoice in the freedom and the liberty. We're going to affirm, I depend on you, Lord. And you've given me so many things to depend on, so many areas that I can walk in independence because I depend on you. Amen. And then we're going to commit ourselves, Lord. I'm going forth weeping, bearing precious seed. And doubtless, Lord, your word says, I'll return with rejoicing, bringing those sheaves, bringing that harvest, bringing those souls. Let's call on him together now.